Okay, here we are. Want to acknowledge my co-authors, Bobby Harden and Chris Delholm. Normally, I like to open with a picture taken out my window, my office window, but Paul Funk took this picture, and I liked it so well because these incoming rain clouds. But I will show you a picture of my window. There's the office window I look at. So I just want to get that in there somehow. I want to also acknowledge my cooperators, Mike Pate of Downriver Cryogenics and Jonathan McBride, Silver Creek Gin Company, great cooperators to work with. I want to review a little bit about what this test is about before we go any further. This is actually the third year. The cryogenic treatment was something we heard about. Actually, Harrison put me onto it. What you do is you completely degrease whatever material you're working with, in this case, gin saws. You cool down to minus 316 degrees Fahrenheit for 48 hours using liquid nitrogen. Let it set. And then there's two 10-hour heat cycles. You go up to 310, cool it back down to room temperature. This is about a four-day process. And the question's been asked, this adds about $2 per saw, as I understand it from talking to Mike Pate. Now, on this test that I'm reporting on now, one of the changes that we did was that all gin saws are from the same batch lot. The first year of test, we were at UCO, we were at Meadow Co-op south of Lubbock, and then at McGehee in Arkansas. And of course, there were two Loomis gins and a Continental gin, so we weren't able to get the saws from the same batch, but this was. The test method, as far as actually monitoring what we did, is we periodically would take seed samples. I say we, Bobby Harden and crew did that. Periodically take seed samples at each stand, 10 subsamples. Periodically take lint samples prior to lint cleaning, again, 10 samples. This was all done simultaneously. And then we evaluated seed linters for damage and lint samples by APHIS and HVI. Now, the original idea was we were going to run these control and test saws until failure, time of failure. However, the ginner would say that it was no longer adequately performing. That's what we were going to do. So the first year, actually, we didn't even know if these saws would run. We didn't know if this treatment, they'd fly apart or what they would do. But actually, in the stripper gins and picker gins, every ginner was actually impressed with the saws. So we said, okay, we need to do a little better of control at what we do. And so we went to Silver Creek, and the conclusions, well, I might say this, too, at Silver Creek, the reason we went there is because we have basically two separate gins under the same roof, and I'll show you that in a minute. But at the end of the 2015 ginning season at Silver Creek, both the control and the test saws were still running. I'll show you some bale data in a little while. So the north side gin stands that will start the 2016 season after running about 11,000 bales per stand. South side about 9,500. They ran the north side a little longer, and basically there were no significant differences in fiber quality between the control and the test saws at the end of the 2015 ginning season. So if you've never been to the Delta, I want to show you a picture of that. This is looking. This is basically Lubbock, but it's got water and trees. And these are not mountains back there. Those are encroaching trees. We're marching towards the gin yard. It's kind of scary, actually. Trees scare me. I don't like trees. I like to see something. Anyway, this is the kind of a view of Jonathan's gin. This is the north side. They're feeding in round modules. That's all I saw there. What's called the north side. This is the north gin set. And again, this is a complete gin. Here's the overflow down here. This stand is where the treated saws are in. I would call it the number one gin stand. The controls are here. The lint cleaner happened to be choked when I took this picture, so that stand wasn't running, but it ran normally. This is the south side. And on this one, this is the treated saws are on the number two stand here. One of the things you might notice about this gin is it has double feeders over the stands, which I think are an advantage in some ways I'll talk about in a minute. But that's basically the gin. We did have a failure. This was the standard saw set on the south side, but it was a bearing failure or a shaft failure at the bearing. It was not a saw failure. In fact, I want to show you. That's a nice, clean break. I think what happened was on this particular mandrel, they had replaced three or four saws on one end. There had a wad come through and damaged some saws. And the bearing was slightly loose, Jonathan thought, and the vibration did the shaft in. So, you know, in gins, there's always a bottleneck. And so there may be, if we're running these saws longer, the bottleneck may be bearings. We have to pay a little closer attention to bearings. Anyway, that was a beautiful break. I just had to take that picture. There's the failed control set. Now, when it failed, it happened to be not ginning. It was idling. So it really didn't do much damage to the saws at all. Here's just an overall shot of the failed set. Now, what you can see, there's a tooth or two bent back as you look through that. There's some broken ones. I want to show you a little close-up. This is just the control saw, the failed sample, put a white card behind it. Those teeth still look pretty good. Here's another shot. There's some broken ends here. But when you do the palm test, put your hand on it, run it back, it grabs you. You don't want to push too hard or too long. They're still sharp, still ginning. Here's the companion test saws. Again, it was in the stand, and you always hesitate to put my hand inside of a saw gin, but they were quite sharp. I didn't really see any broken teeth on this set from what I could see. Okay, let's get to a little bit of data. Remember, the idea of the original test was, how long will these things last? Okay, we got 2 years here. 2015, this is the north set, the south set. Both stands had about 11,000 bales through them on 2015. South side, about 9,500, still running. 2016, the north set, both the control and the test, it have over 26,000 bales through them, still running, still sharp, still cleaning the seed. The south set, the test saw had about 24,000. The control set failed at about 12,000, but the control replacement had a little over 11,000 at the end of the season. So basically, we're going to start the 2017 season with this set of saws and this set of saws and run the poop out of them until they quit. You know, basically, that's what we're going to try to do. The cotton that Jonathan had been ginning was really, the last 2 years, was really quite good. Ideal ginning seasons. It was clean. It was dry. I just took this picture of a bale. You know, look, going across the belt, there's really, as you go to high moisture areas to low moisture areas, there's really kind of you'll notice differences in the fiber the trash content and those kind of things. But this was very low trash content, very good cotton. So we really had some ideal ginning conditions. Now so the question then comes up. Jonathan and I was talking about this. Okay, by running these saws so long, which we've already exceeded what you mostly do, are we actually doing fiber quality damage even though the saws are still cleaning the seed? Now, I apologize for these graphs, but tried to figure out the best way, and this is from Derek, put these together for me, helped me do this. But this is 2015 season right here, these bar graphs. This is length by weight, aphis, at the south side, the north side. And basically the experimental saws are in blue, standard in red, and there's really no significant difference in length by weight. You know, these are another thing here on the north and south side are not running the same farmer necessarily. They might be, probably not, different varieties. So we can't really compare this way. We have to compare this way. So in the 2016 season, it's just starting here going this way. The break, the control, the failure of the standard saw set was right here. So we had a chance to compare. Looking at the south side, here's the initial saws running. Here's the replacement of the standard set. So we had a chance to look at, were there length differences here or here at these different samples? And this is the sample time, three different samples taken during the year. Basically, no statistical difference here on length by weight. Neps per gram, they were identical here. This one looked like the experimental saw may have had a little higher net, but it was not significant. There was no significance there at all. Again, upper half mean length, HVI, no significant difference between this. And I remember this experimental saw by this time had about 21,000 bales run through it. This one had about probably 5,000 or 6,000 at the time this was taken. So we didn't see any difference there on the HVI measurements. Uniformity index, the standard right here was a little higher for whatever reason, but it was not significantly higher. Here, no difference at all. And then the short fiber content, you know, uniformity short fiber we're interested in. There's really no significant differences across here. This is, whatever you see here is just varietal at the time. So what we've come down to is these saws last pretty well. Also, the standard set's been lasting pretty well, too. You get pretty good quality cotton running through them. You get pretty good life. One of the things I think that has happened, you know, we didn't get any big wads through jerking out saws or anything. That double set of feeders makes a real difference in opening things up and getting cotton through it. So as I always like to, and there are my grandchildren. That's why I do this presentation. There they are, all seven of them. And so that's the end. I don't know if I have maybe a little time for questions. Anybody has any?
Any on the way?
Well, two of the couples have said no more. One's noncommittal. There might be another one. Yes, sir. Ross, I'd like you to answer that. You hear the question?
Yeah. Typically, you used to talk 500 to 7,500, you know, bales per hen stand. We've seen pretty consistently 10,000 to 15,000. But the fact that the standard set of saws is up there at 20,000 to 22,000 is kind of like we think the saws too good. So.
Yeah.
Typical.
Yeah.
And this is the point of replacing a lot of
that. Yes, sir. Joe. I agree, absolutely. Yeah, that cotton was open coming through there, just really no problems. Now, I do want to say on the control set that failed, the standard saws that failed, they had actually replaced 3 or 4 end saws on that set, and when they put the bearing back, they may have not quite tightened it. Yeah, Ross? Right. You know, I don't know that. Bobby, are you in here?
It was a dry season,
so you know, whatever it was. He wasn't running much heat, I know that. Right. Right. It was pretty much, not much heat. All right.
Yeah. Have you thought about doing this with the inserts for the ribs?
Actually, folks have thought about doing the inserts, and I think, Ross, you have something. You know, in the lumber industry, they treat their saws, and they say they last 3 to 4 times longer than untreated saws. So, yeah, Joe.
We actually had some of our saw punch tooling treated that way, and we didn't see any improvement. So it doesn't work for everything.
Right. Yeah. But again, you know, we're going to continue to run these and see when they actually do fail. In the the first year we ran at Meadow Gen south of Lubbock, which is a stripper area, and those saws actually had about, what was it, Greg, about 7,000 bales over them, and they were still performing, still, you know, they were showing wear, but they were still ginning. Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen, ladies.